I've mentioned the fact that the book of Zechariah is divided into two main parts, the seven visions or night visions of chapters 1 through 6, and then two burdens. Those burdens are found in chapters 9 through 14 of the prophecy. The first one begins with chapter 9, verse 1, and the second with chapter 12, verse 1. In between the visions and those two burdens are chapters 7 and 8. In chapter 7, God speaks of his judgments on those who refused to listen to him and who rebelled against him. And in chapter 8, he promises his blessing to those who hear and obey. Chapter 8 has in it 10 promises of blessing. Each of them begins, as you'll notice when we read the chapter, each of them begins with the words, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts." And we're going to be looking at the third of those promised blessings in verses 4 and 5 especially. So watch for those verses as we read the chapter. "Again the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury. Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain." And then the third promised blessing, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, there shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for very age. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, if it be marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days, should it also be marvelous in mine eyes, saith the Lord of hosts. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country, and I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong, ye that hear in these days these words by the mouth of the prophets, which were in the day that the foundation of the house of the Lord of hosts was laid, that the temple might be built. For before these days there was no hire for man, nor any hire for beast, neither was there any peace to him that went out or came in because of the affliction. For I set all men, every one, against his neighbor. But now I will not be unto the residue of this people, as in the former days, saith the Lord of hosts. For the seed shall be prosperous, the vine shall give her fruit, and the ground shall give her increase, and the heavens shall give their dew, and I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things. And it shall come to pass that as you were a curse among the heathen, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so will I save you, and ye shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, as I thought to punish you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, saith the Lord of hosts, and I repented not, so again have I thought in these days to do well unto Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Fear ye not. These are the things that ye shall do. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates. And let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor. And love no false oath, for all these are things that I hate, saith the Lord. And the word of the Lord of hosts came unto me, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, and the fast of the fifth, and the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth, shall be to the house of Judah joy and gladness and cheerful feasts. Therefore love the truth and peace. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, it shall yet come to pass that there shall come people and the inhabitants of many cities and the inhabitants of one city shall go to another saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Turning then to the third of those promised blessings, let's look at verses 4 and 5 of Zechariah 8. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, there shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for very age. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. That's the third of the 10 promised blessings here in Zechariah 8, a kind of interruption between the 7 visions and the 2 burdens, which are the main part of Zechariah's prophecy. In this third promised blessing, in looking at it and trying to understand it, we have to remember the situation in which Zechariah and the people of Judah found themselves. The people had only recently returned from captivity in Babylon and had found the city destroyed, the temple in ruins, their homes destroyed, their fields overgrown with weeds and overrun with wild animals. They found themselves in a very difficult situation, and were not only few in number, but poor as well. And they had to begin, that was God's command, the work of rebuilding the temple. And at the time that Zechariah prophesied, the temple was far from being rebuilt. But not only the temple, the city also was still in ruins. You have to keep that in mind as you read in verse 4 of old men and old women dwelling in the streets of Jerusalem, and in verse 5 of the streets of the city being full of boys and girls. That was not true when Zechariah brought these words to the people of Judah. There was no one living in the city of Jerusalem at that time, and would not be for many years. And Zechariah's word in this third promise, Zechariah's word is that in spite of all the difficulties the people faced, in spite of the seeming impossibility of what had to be done, that not only would the temple be rebuilt, but the city itself would be rebuilt. And there would be boys and girls playing in the streets of Jerusalem, and old people, old men and old women, going about their business in the streets of Jerusalem. But you have to remember, too, that the promise here in these verses, has also to do with the fact that it was especially the old men and the old women and the children who had suffered over the past years. The years before the captivity had been years of trouble for Judah. They had been overrun by the surrounding nations, and then, of course, had been carried away into Babylon as captives, and had returned in the face of all those difficulties that I mentioned. And as is always the case, it was the old men and the old women, as well as the children, who suffered the most as a result of all those troubles and difficulties. That's always the case. If you read, for example, the reports, the news reports of the war in the Ukraine, or of Israel's war with Hamas, you'll find repeated mention both of the children and their suffering, and also in many cases of the elderly. The focus is more often than not on them, as we have here in the Word of God. And so, though the Jews had gone through those very difficult times in which the old people and the children had suffered more than anyone else, God is not only promising that the city would be rebuilt, but that the people of Judah would enjoy, after all those troubles and sorrows, a time of peace, when the children would be able to be in the streets of Jerusalem and the old people as well, not cowering in the face of enemies or suffering as a result of all those troubles, but at peace with all the other inhabitants of the city. That's what Zechariah, in God's name, is promising the Jews of his day. And that would take place under the leadership of Zerubbabel, the descendant of David, and Joshua, the high priest of whom we've spoken. So that's the promise as it was given then. But if that was all there was to the Word of God here, then we might as well take these pages and tear them out of our Bibles and throw them away, because they have nothing to do with us. If that was all that Zechariah was prophesying. But Zechariah is also prophesying of the here and now, and speaking to us as well, and saying to us, there shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for very age. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. But to understand how that applies to us, you have to understand that Jerusalem in the Bible is always a name not only for that earthly city that exists, still exists today on the eastern shores of the Mediterranean Sea, but is a name for God's church. Jerusalem in the Bible is always the church. I think I've referred you in that connection, referred you before, to the Word of God in Hebrews 12. There, speaking to New Testament believers, the author of Hebrews has just talked about how the Old Testament Jews came to Mount Sinai for the law, but the author of Hebrews says, ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. And if there were any doubt that he's speaking of the church, verse 23 adds, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Apostle Paul in Galatians also speaks of two Jerusalems. The Jerusalem that now is and is earthly, and the Jerusalem that is above and heavenly. And that's what we have to think of when we read these verses in Zechariah's prophecy of the Jerusalem that is above, to which we have come, Hebrews 12, to which we have come by faith in coming to Jesus. Coming to him, we come to the heavenly Jerusalem as citizens and saints. And that too is the Word of God in Philippians. Our citizenship is in heaven. The Apostle Paul says there, we are citizens of the heavenly Jerusalem. And we not only have to remember that the Word of God here has reference to the church when it speaks of the city, but we have to remember that the leaders of the Jews, Zerubbabel and Joshua, were pictures, really more than pictures, of our Savior. Even in the Old Testament, through those two men, Christ was present with his people and with his church. And he was the one, not really Zerubbabel and Joshua, he was the one who saw to the rebuilding of the temple and of the city. But that's especially true in the New Testament. This is a prophecy of Christ's work in purchasing, preserving, gathering his church out of the nations. That's how you have to read Zechariah 8, verses 4 and 5. It's a prophecy of what we sang in Psalter number 403. The Lord our God builds up his church. He seeks her wandering sons. That's how Zechariah's prophecy is still as true today as ever it was all those years before our Savior came into the world. This is a prophecy of Christ's work in shedding his blood for the sake of his church to make her his own, and then gathering his church out of the nations as he continues to do today. And it's a promise that he will preserve his church throughout the New Testament. And the reference to old men and old women, as well as to boys and girls, must be understood as a reference to the fact that Christ gathers his church also from among them. And there are several reasons for emphasizing that. First of all, there are many Christians who do not believe that boys and girls belong to the church of Jesus Christ. Although a book like Ephesians ought to make it clear that they do, where the Word of God addresses, as members of the church, not only the adults, but the children, exhorting them to honor and obey their parents. So in the face of that notion that children do not belong to the church until they reach a certain age, a certain maturity, and are able to speak for themselves, is contradicted by the Word of God here. But the other reason for speaking of this promise as including old men and old women and children is that we find ourselves in a situation here where there are no children and young people Now that Jacob has left, and you can see how important the promise is in the light of that, that there will be children in the Church of Jesus Christ always. In this congregation, that we do not know. That's in God's hands. But as long as his church is gathered out of the nations, there will be, to use the words of Zechariah, boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. As far as the old men and the old women, that also needs to be emphasized. And needs to be emphasized because, along with the children, they are, in my view, and I think you'll agree with that, the most neglected members of the Church of Jesus Christ. The church is so busy, in many cases, trying to please the youth of the church, trying to keep its young people, trying to entertain them, trying to bring others in, that the older men and older women are almost entirely forgotten and neglected in the Church of Jesus Christ. And the Word of God is a promise. Promise, first of all, that they have a place in the Church of Jesus Christ, but a promise also of the fact that they are part of the blessedness of the church. Christ is pleased to make his church, to make up his church, not only out of people from every nation and language and tribe, but he is pleased to make up his church out of all kinds of people, young and old, rich and poor, great and small, and in that way show the amazing character of his grace and of his shed blood. And the word of God here in Zechariah 8 looks forward then to the New Testament work of Christ in gathering what we call a Catholic church. A church out of all nations, but also a church gathered out of all time and all kinds of people. There shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for very age, everyone going about his business as a member of the church, needed and not forgotten and neglected. That's the word of God here as it applies to us now. And that's the work of Christ. Christ, as he was pictured in the days of Zechariah by Zerubbabel and Joshua. He makes the church his own. It's his love that lies behind the gathering of the church. It's his glory that's at stake in gathering the church out of all nations and out of all kinds of people. And it's he who brings it to pass, brings this prophecy of Zechariah to pass. As we see it realized spiritually in the New Testament. And this becomes then also a promise of blessedness and peace for the New Testament church. Not earthly prosperity, But spiritual prosperity and spiritual peace, a peace the opposite of what Judah experienced in the days before its captivity, in the days when they were in Babylon, and even in the days after their return. Children and old men and old women going about their business in the Church of Jesus Christ and enjoying what Philippians calls the peace of God that passes understanding. Their lives untroubled by spiritual enemies. And they enjoying their place in Christ's church. That's the now of Zechariah's prophecy. But I think you'll see that what Zechariah prophesies here reaches all the way to the end of the world and to the coming of Christ. Now, Christ is building his church, pictured by the rebuilding of Jerusalem and its temple, but that church will be finally built in all its heavenly glory when Christ comes again and takes his people to himself. Then what we read in Ephesians, the end of Ephesians chapter 2, will be a forever reality. The church will be a holy temple in the Lord, all of us builded together for inhabitation of God through the Spirit. Builded on an everlasting foundation, delivered forever from its enemies, enjoying the blessed peace of life in the presence of God. That's the forever of Zechariah's prophecy here in these verses. Is that to be taken to mean that in the New Jerusalem, the church glorified, there will still be young children? Still be people who, as verse 4 has it, who need a cane to get around? Every man with his staff in his hand for very age. It does not mean that. Gathered from all nations. Christ gathering into his church not only mature and adult believers, but children, never forgetting those who are old and gray-haired, when all is made new, and that forever of Zechariah's prophecy is realized, then the children too, as well as those who suffer the infirmities and weaknesses of old age, will be made perfect in him. And there's a beautiful passage in Isaiah 65 that suggests that. The whole chapter in Isaiah 65 is really about the end of the world, the coming of Christ, the glory of heaven. Look at verse 17 of Isaiah 65. Behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come to mind. And if you have any doubts about Jerusalem, verse 19 speaks of it. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. But then, verse 20, there shall be no more fence, no more. Now, then, but no more, no more from there, from Jerusalem, an infant of days nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. No age, that's really what the Word of God is saying there in the New Jerusalem. But an agelessness that will be part of the eternal blessedness of God's people in that day. And then Isaiah 65 goes on to describe the prosperity and peace that God's people will enjoy, though in Old Testament language. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. That was true before Judah went into captivity. They shall not plant and another eat, for as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. That's what Zechariah is prophesying. And you have the same thing in Revelation 21. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And what did John see? I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And then at the end of that chapter, speaking of that city, the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You see it? And all of the other blessings of which Zechariah speaks are part of the blessedness of that day when the people of God, you and I included, part of the Church of Jesus Christ, gathered not only out of the nations, but out of all different kinds of people, will be perfect and glorious, and forever at peace. And when one of the other blessings speaks of that, when God will fulfill his covenant with his people and live among them and be their God. That's Zechariah looking forward to what we in the New Testament have begun to enjoy, and which our Lord, who will soon be here, will bring to pass in the day of his coming. There shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof, all living together in eternal blessedness in the family of God, but no more from thence an infant of days or an old man who has not filled his days. What can you say to that except, come quickly, Lord Jesus? Amen. Father, bless what we've heard from the Word this morning. Use it to lift up our heads in hope of the coming of Christ, and to comfort us in all the trials and tribulations of our present earthly life. Assure us that thou dost dwell in thy church now, and preserve and defend thy church against all her enemies, giving to thy people already now that peace that passes understanding, and promising the day of eternal blessedness through the coming of our Lord and Savior. Forgive our sins. In his name we pray. Amen.